Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. The Gospel of Matthew.
Thank you, Jesus.
Chapter 14. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. We're going to begin our reading at verse number 14. And when Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not to depart, give you them to eat." And they say unto him, "Lord, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Well, bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed, and he brake, and he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for touching my mouth, my lips. God, as I speak to this people, God, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message that I have titled, "Just Put It Into God's Hands." Just put it into God's hands. See, in a time of crisis or in the midst of a need in your life, as it is you who feels overwhelmed by the clear understanding in how that an urgent response to your crisis is required. Urgent, you say. Important, maybe not to others, but it's important and or it's urgent to you. It's something you feel, maybe anxiety rising or your human emotions being overwhelmed. And so as a soul in need, it's often we who then begin to call upon God, right in those times. Otherwise, often it's we who tend to be the ones to leave God somewhere in the back burner of our time and attention. What I'm saying is adversity carries in it the ability to bring us swiftly back to the fact that we need God. Everything's sailing, smoothly going, and you know what? You're feeling, hey, on top of the world, and suddenly trouble. Suddenly an issue. Something pops up in your life, and suddenly you realize, hey, I need God. And yet, when it is we who make the decision to petition God or to pray, asking God for his intervention, when God shows up in our life with a desire to bring to pass what it is we called upon him for, once or later comes those times in our life when a spirit of fear, doubt, and maybe even unbelief, along with our own human set limitations, are they which in turn prove to be what still has the power to hold not just us, bound, but it can hold God bound as well. You see, you want God to heal you. Your desire is for God to answer your prayer to meet your needs, urgent or not. But for one reason or another, within our human understanding, our reasoning, it's we who have the tendency to allow reason to get in the way of our believing that God will, in the midst of our need, can or will be able to answer, to make it happen. And that not because God can't or won't, because in the realm of our fear, in the realm of our doubt, it is God who often cannot bring to pass what it is that you have or you're petitioning him for, because fear and faith, my friends, doesn't mix. I believe God, but I'm scared to death. Do you think God can do it? Well, I'm not sure, but I really hope he does. I doubt he can. I guess it'd be like this. It's like God asking you to let go of the rope. And instead of your doing this, it's you who firmly hangs on to the end of the rope by keeping God then from doing what it is you just asked him to do. All right, trust me right now. Okay, I trust you. All right, let go of the rope. Let go of the rope. Remember the story of Peter? He's in the boat. And there are the waves are tossing. Here comes Jesus. What did Peter say? Lord, if it's you, bid me come. What would have happened, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus said, okay, come. Hang on to that thought. That's water. I'm human. I'm in a boat. And I'm not moving. What would happen in that story? That Peter would never experience the miracle of him walking on the water. You know what? I'm going to keep hanging on to this. But God says, you know, just put it into my hands. And as you stand there, white knuckle, that I've seen that with people. You know what? There comes an altar call, or maybe the preacher calls upon you. Come here. And you're hanging on the back of your seat. You look around at everybody else, wonder who's staring at you when they're really not. And you wonder to yourself, well, come here. Put it into my hands. But really, we're there white-knuckled, even fearful that, and God, he's waiting, he's wondering, why don't you just let it go and put it in my hands? Just give it to me. Well, come here. Well, I'm not doing, well, come here. Can't you talk to me where I am? Come here. Just try, put it in my hands, give it to me. Just give it to me. Well, I don't know what he'll do with it if I give it to him. Is God really going to answer me? Is this what's really, if I put it into his hands, how do I know he's going to take care of it? Doubt. See, God says, I can do this. Hear this. My desire is to see your need met, but you must be willing in your life to put whatever it is that you're asking of me into my hands. And then step back. And let God go to work. I'm going to drag this real deep. Give it to me. In the book of Matthew chapter 14, we find a very familiar story about the five loaves and the two fishes. We've read it probably time and time again. You've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard that story time and time again. So together, you see, as Jesus and the disciples spent the day ministering to the multitude, when the evening came, they went to Jesus to request him that he'd send the people away so they can provide food for themselves without a thought now. Without a thought. Jesus replies, well, there's no need for them to go. Just give them to eat. But Lord, all we have is five loaves and two fishes. I like what he said next. All right, then bring them to me. Herein lies the primary factor, church, in concerns to what it is that has the ability to bring about a spirit of doubt and fear in the heart and the minds of an individual. You know what that primary factor is? Questioning God. Well, come on, guys. Just what does he think? What does Jesus think he's going to do with five loaves and two fishes among so many? Questioning God. Peter, come. Reach out to me. Lift up your hands. Ask me. What's your motive? Why? What should I do? You see, in the realm of our own human reasoning, we're the ones to tend to operate under the banner of our limited human abilities or even capabilities. Meaning if it doesn't fit into the round hole of our understanding, like it should, you know, I've got to be able to figure it out. How can you get a round peg into a square hole? Doesn't happen. Being the one on the outside of our mind's perception, this is where people, as a people, we tend to resolve how that, frankly, then it just can't be done. It won't work. Well, it can't happen. It's just impossible. Well, maybe it's impossible to you, but it's when it's we, church, who take the impossible and put it into God's hands and remove our human limitations. Well, you know what? You might not be to handle it, but when you put it into God's hand and you step back in order for God to do the work, what it is you're going to discover is how that having put your need, your prayer, your petition, your earnest request into God's hands, as you leave it with him, God in turn will respond by bringing to pass your petition, your prayer, or the answer to your need. That's what he does. I have to bypass this. Think of it one more time. In the boat, if it's you. Peter had to bypass his own reasoning. I sink. I don't walk on water. I'm human. Maybe you're not. How can God do this? Get rid of that human reasoning. Give it to God and watch. So after handing Jesus the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, I could imagine the buzzing of the disciples' thoughts as it rushed through their minds when Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. What? Gave him 5 loaves. How many were there? 5,000 men besides women and children. What? I just gave him 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and he said, sit down on the grass? Oh, watch this, guys. What are you going to do? So along with this thought of just what God can do when it's you who presents to him your need, etc., there comes, as I said, our questioning God. When in the realm of our request, whether or not we truly believe that Jesus will answer or cause to come to pass what it is we petition him. Question. That's a bad thing to do. Question. You ever remember playing kids? I remember this. I know I used this illustration before, but it fits. You get somebody, 2 people, you come up to the front, you stand there, and you'd ask the guy in front of you to cross your arms just like this, and you step back and say, okay, fall back in my arms. Right. You fall back in your own arms. Yeah. That ain't going to work. God says, give it to me and I'll take it from you. Right. This afternoon, it's I who wants to bring to you what it is I believe to be the most important fact before us and concerns to our lives and concerns to the God that we serve. And that is Jesus Christ, God become flesh, is the one who can do anything that he, as our God, chooses to do. And all that God asks us in our human ability to do first is to just put whatever it is that we desire into his hands. Then step back and in faith believing that God in his time will bring back to us what it is that we petition. If I give it to him and I let it go, then just what is going to happen? I'll tell you, God will do what he wants to do. Verse 19 of Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke them, gave the loaves to the disciples to the multitude. And out they went. Among the multitude, again and again and again. Let me throw this thought at you just for good measure. There's not too many people that I know who can handle the act of delay or the need to wait in their lives when it's you who perceive the need that you have to be in your mind. It's calling for an immediate response. And so when it's you who feels as though your petition or maybe your prayer unto God is what's being left lying in limbo, unanswered, this is a time when our human thinking as people, we once again tend to start to doubt that God is even hearing us or he's going to answer our prayer. And you know what? As a personal testimony, I can tell you myself. Been there, done that. All right, okay, I'm not like you guys. I'm sorry today. Maybe I'm in the wrong church. You know, the cupboards are empty. The gas tank's less than a quarter full. You haven't worked for a few weeks, and so the money's right sparse. And so you realize you're in peril. There's trouble on the forefront, and we need God to do something. And so there it is, your spouse most likely to say, well, why don't you just ask God? Why don't you ask God? Okay, watch. Manna from heaven will come raining down. Sure. Oh, yes. Suddenly, my bank account will be full, honey. Maybe I'm back in the right church. I don't know. So I'm supposed to take what I perceive as an immediate need and give it to God and then wait. Well, I'm sorry. You know what? I realize why I became a pastor and I never became a doctor. Well, because I don't have any patients. Anyhow, wait, delay. No, you're talking to the wrong. No, I'm not going to. I want it now. I want it yesterday. I'll never forget the time when we were short on money. Remember that I was about $80 short, I think it was, for my rent. I had no money. I'd already outborrowed the in-laws, and I couldn't borrow from anybody else because the P word stopped me from doing it. What's the P word? Pride. Yeah, are you going to ask Denisha to loan you $20? Likely not. I handle myself, okay? Take care of myself. And so my spiritual wife, brother, the king, she says, well, why don't we just pray and ask God? Sure. I'm going to pray and ask God. I see. And yes, an invisible amount will just, God will e-transfer the money in the 21st century into my account. It wasn't the 21st century. This is about 1986, and we've been in the church for 2 years. And Doubtful Thomas, I decided to find to give in and pray. And so, you know what? Instead of questioning God, I questioned her. And I said, okay, fine. Jesus, we're $80 short for rent, and we had a landlord that would have kicked us out for 10. And so we need this money, and we're short. I got nowhere where it's going to come from. I want this money in Jesus' name. Well, lo and behold, here comes Mr. Postman. Look and see, got a letter from me. And it was a few years coming, but anyhow, it was a ticket that I had at one time. And somebody challenged that ticket. It was called the zero, they wouldn't put up with it, zero tolerance. That's what it was. And so I got a letter. You ever get a letter from the Ministry of Highways and Transportation, honey? Get us scared. Are they calling for my license? What are they doing? I didn't do anything wrong. They didn't even have cameras back then. Didn't even have a cell phone like you kids. And so I opened up the letter, make a long story short, open it up. I think it was for $85. Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. So God, I had an immediate need. It was due the next day. Here comes the mail. But I wasn't willing to wait. You see, in like manner, in concerns to your prayers and concerns to your needs, your own petitions that are made by you unto God. I want you to know how there never comes a time when God who does not hear. There never comes a time, pardon me, when God doesn't ever understand. He doesn't understand. Yes, he does. And in your life, God sometimes doesn't just jump to our beckoning call, but God for his own reasons does, and he'll answer you in his time. And that's what killed me. I was very patient. No, I wasn't. That's a lie. I was not patient. I want it now. I've been through times of hunger. I've been through times of financial stress. And all I did, my pastor, Brother Simmons, he used to tell me, he said, brother, you quit wearing your clothes on from the inside out. People wear them on the outside in. You know, you burn a hole in your knees or you get your clothes get so raggy, forget it. I'd wear mine out from the inside because I'm fretting and worrying. Am I talking to anybody here? I guess I'm all alone. I'm the only one that lacked faith back then, maybe even today. I don't know. So, yeah, I wasn't going to wait. And so you figure, well, God doesn't understand. Yes, he does. God is not, he's not deaf. The hand of the Lord is not short that it cannot reach you, nor is his ear dull that it cannot hear. So, all right, the scratchy's back. In our scriptural text, the disciples who already seen miracles at the hand of Jesus, it was not until there arose a need among the multitude now that Jesus chose to step out from the natural and go into that of the supernatural in order to perform yet another miracle. And in reflection to this thought, if and when the time comes in your life when it's you who is in need of an answer or prayer, maybe you need a healing in your body or maybe a miracle really from God, I want you to know that all you need to do in your life is to petition God and to commit your need of that prayer. And from that time on, here it comes. This is the tough one. Maybe you faith-filled people don't understand me. Once you petition, once you pray, put it into his hands. And step back. Step back. Yeah. Leave it there. All right. Do we not sing a song? Anybody don't know this song, put your hand up if you want to. What song do we sing? Take your burdens to the Lord and bring them home. Is that what the song we sing? No. take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Right. That's what you just said. Sure. It's easy for you to say. No. We sing that song. So what we got to do is I got to give it to God. I got to put it into his hands. And then I got to wait. So all in all, we as humanity are the guilty parties being the ones to bind God's hands by allowing doubt and fear to cloud our faith in God. And his being able to do or perform the miraculous in our lives. Listen to this. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Well, hey, have you prayed about that situation in your life? Yeah, but what is that God can do in view of what I'm up against? Well, you never know until you put it into his hands. I got a quiet crowd today. Maybe I'm hitting home. Have you prayed about that? Sure did. Jesus blessed my food in Jesus' name. Then I ate it. I'm not talking about your dinner. Have you prayed about that circumstance in your life? Yeah, I guess so. This morning I said 3 words. No, have you put it into his hands? Well, I don't know if he'll even... How do you know? I believe the determining factor in what it is that holds God back from responding to us often is our lack of operating in the realm of faith. As it's we who in time of crisis, in times of need, we tend to do everything else but allow ourselves to operate in faith. Hey, I got the Visa. Yeah, sure do. Matter of fact, got the MasterCard. I can ask for a loan. That's what I can do. Yeah, you can. Well, how about putting it into God's hands? Never consider the option. I'll take care of myself. I'm my own man, really. Wait till the Visa's maxed. You don't even have a MasterCard. The bank turned you down for your loan. Here's one for you. Here's a killer. So when we were young, I learned what debt was. Anybody listening to me? I learned what debt was. And so we had my wife's parents, you know, they just moved up about a week ago. So here, loaded with debt, so we would get a loan. Ready? And then we do an amalgamation because we've maxed the cards all over again and do this again. And then we get another loan. And we get co-signed by her parents, you know. And then, you know what we do? We get another loan because I maxed the card. Hey, the Visa's clear. Fill it up till it overflows. Yeah, so we'd fill it up. And then it's okay. We'll get a loan. Well, then I bought this little car. It was air conditioned, brother. It really was. On the passenger side, you just moved the plastic mat and there was the ground. Yeah. Anyhow, well, I think it was the transmission that dropped out of that thing. And it died. That's okay. I only live 5 miles from work. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a loan. Yeah. So we go to the Toyota dealership and everything and got a car all set up. Go down to the BMO bank. I'll never forget BMO. Absolutely. We have 3 refinance credit loans within. I am not even 4 months from the third time around the block to pay it right off. And I go in there. I said, hello. And yes, I wanted to refinance. My car died. Uh-huh. Yeah, anyhow, I wanted to refinance because I live 5 miles from work and this is September, you know, Christmas is coming in the wintertime. Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry. You still got 4 months left on your loan. Yeah. Well, wait till the 4 months is up and we'll consider it that time. Look at me. This is September, October, November, December, January payoff. Walk both ways 5 miles. No compute. I'm sorry. You're sorry. What am I going to do? Can anybody help me? Why don't you ask? Put it into God's hands. Why don't you ask him? And so, well, I don't know. I can't be honest and say I did. I was so full of anxiety and frustration. I couldn't believe it. I paid. I said, did I ever miss a payment? No. Did I ever not show up on time? No. Did I do anything wrong? No. Is my credit so out of the... No, I just want to see you pay something off. You seem to just always get a few months away. Well, because we maxed it out all the time. Anyhow, so we go back to the Toyota dealership and I said, can't have the car. I don't remember, honey, if we prayed or not. You can't have the car. I'm going to walk to work. 5 miles. Okay, kilometers. I don't know, 7.5, 8. And he says, you got lousy credit? No. You bounce payments or something? I said, no. He said, go sit down. So there we sat. And I believe then I think we did talk to God. I honestly do. I don't want to walk 5 miles in the wintertime. So he comes back about 15, 20 minutes later. And you know what? You ever sit on pins and needles on the edge of your seat waiting? And he throws the keys on the table and he goes, go drive your car. And it was the Bank of Nova Scotia. See, I got to give them some praise. At that time, the Bank of Nova Scotia, didn't even know them, didn't bank there. They looked at my credit bureau and our credit record, and they gave us a loan. Didn't even have an account there. I said, are you kidding me? Get your mind on Jesus. Let's have church. Put your hands together. One on the floor in the stick shift. And we drove out of that place with a vehicle. It was the devil that brought it. No, it wasn't. And I went down to the BMO bank. I have to tell you, I know this isn't really nice to say, but anyhow, I went back to the BMO bank. And I closed my bank account, took my $5 out of there. I said, I'm not dealing with you guys anymore. She goes, you're closing your bank? Yeah, taking my millions, and I'm leaving. So they gave me a $5 bill, I believe it was, and I went over to the Scotia Bank, and I opened it with a flourishing cash flow that I had. Here's $5 to open a bank. We just got a car. It was good. You remember, honey? Anyhow. Oh, it could be said how that when we as a people, especially we as God's people, choose to operate in the realm of fear and doubt, and we lack the presence of that now faith, that it is we who tie God's hands. I can't just doubt everything God wants to do, right? So, the Bible, through the words of Matthew, Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 7. And if you're a scholar today, you might even know what the scripture says. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, how about the book of James? As the writer writes in the second portion of chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, you have not, because you ask not. So the lack of the operation, the power of faith, comes into our lives, and it's we who feel, perceive it's God, for some reason, stepped out of the picture in concerns to our needs, allowing that thought to now linger. It's now God don't want to hear us, right? And instead of asking him, we cease in asking him. We cease to try to gain God's attention for that answer, and we just don't ask. But you know what happens then? Because your answer didn't come, you blame God. You didn't even ask me. I didn't hear you knocking. It's your fault anyhow. Oh my. Having said that, brings me to a story of Stacy. You ever hear about Stacy? She was a woman who grew up in the Christian home. She went to church. Stacy knew what God can do, but through her own choices, she chose to walk out on God. It was she who chose to walk away from the very presence of God. But unbeknown to Stacy, it was God, as far as she was concerned, who left her there. But he didn't. God never let her go, but he followed her. As far as Stacy's life in that condition, outside of God's hands, you could say, were tied. But until a few years later, she came to the realization that she needed God. And so Stacy made her way back to the church, and upon entering the front doors, for the first time in a long time, she felt the reaching hands of her Savior reaching out to her. And it was that night that Stacy repented from all that she had done, and she raised her hands and began to call out for God. And it was at that moment when she put herself back into the hands of God, that before all, God refilled her with the Holy Ghost, and she began to speak with an unknown tongue. She realized, if I just put my life into his hands, I can take my life out of his hands. I can take my opportunity and my situation away from God. You can. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you you had better. I don't see God up there with a baseball bat. But honey, when you realize, I can't do this alone. I can't do this without God. This is not going to happen. It's just not going to come to pass. I have got, well, put it into God's hands. Give it back to Him. And when you surrender you to Him, Jesus Christ will in turn come back and answer your prayer. You know, people sometimes, they think, you know, they backslide. I've gone too far. No, you haven't. I've done too much. No, you haven't. I believe, might cross some of your theologies, but that's okay. I got the mic. Anyhow, I believe there's two times when it's too late. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, and the soul goes back to God who gave it. When you're dead, honey, you ain't going to repent. Second time is when we in the church baptized in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, repented of our sins, living for God, and you miss the rapture. Go ahead, give your head, give your visa, do whatever you want. I don't believe you're going to make it to heaven if we don't go in that rapture. There's no such thing as a second chance because you know the truth. All right, I challenge that. Really? Okay, here we are. Stand before God now and tell Him, I did not know. Tell God you didn't know that sin was wrong. He filled you with the Holy Ghost. You read His Word. You know what He asked you to do. And you now you're going to stand there and say, God, I never knew any of this. Give me a second chance. Sorry, honey. Two times. All right, that's out of that. There's very few I know. Let this touch your heart. There's very few people that I know who do not have loved ones, children, spouses, family that right now are not living for God. They who are on the outside of God's grace and mercy. And yes, you say you prayed for them. In fact, you've asked God to get them to where God would touch their lives and bring them into His shepherd's fold. And yet what it is I want to say to you right now is once you feel that you have put whomever you're praying for into God's hands, even if you feel as though God has not answered your prayer, what I encourage you to do is to cease not to bring their names or your concern for their soul before God's throne of grace. But once having put it into God's hand, determine now to never allow your faith in God to waver. In fact, whether or not God will answer your prayer, because fear, doubt, unbelief have the power to crush our faith when all God asks you to do is to put it in His hands and leave the rest to Him. I've heard of stories where it was years when a backslidden child had walked away from God, made their way back to God. I've heard it for years when a spouse, one is in the church and one's not in the church, and the one not in the church doesn't come in the church in the first 15 minutes that their wife or husband are saved. But it could be years. And it could be a very short time. Jeremiah chapter 29, please turn there if you would. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And once having done this, by putting it, whatever it is that you need, into God's hands, then, folks, it's up to God in due time, like I said, to do the work. So the message that I'm seeking to present to you today is a message of faith. By having faith in God, by our being willing to exercise your own faith in God, by giving, by putting what it is that you have, what you need into God's hands, and then being willing to step back and let God, who is very capable in doing what He does, to let Him do it again. Now, if you forget everything that I've said to you today, do yourself a favor, and I want you to remember this. In the realm of faith, God is not limited by time. God is not limited by our circumstance. No, God is not limited. Where the problem often lies is in concerns to the action and the operation of faith in and within our own thoughts and our own reasoning. And it's we who can hold God bound in the midst of a trial, in the time of crisis, etc., because maybe, even if it's you and your situation, maybe today, or your circumstance today, instead of keeping God bound through a lack of faith, all you got to do is put it in His hands. That doesn't make sense. Where's His hands? Give it to God. Ready? The book of Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. What does that mean? Put it into His hands. The cry comes out, Lord, my child, my spouse, my own healing. In fact, Lord, I need a miracle. My son, my daughter, my spouse needs salvation. And as our prayers go up, I believe that it is God who in His love for us looks down from heaven, and His reply is, all right then, just put them in my hands. I hope this doesn't offend anybody. You know, one of the most comforting times as a young child, what they feel is when their arms are their mommy or their dad. They're scared to wake up from a dream. Maybe they woke up and it's dark and they start to cry and the light comes on and the parent or parents come walking in. And the most comforting thing is to feel the arms of your parents wrap their arms around you. Well, what about, you know what, you're in the midst of trial, stress, you're going through a really big struggle. Maybe you're scared, you're hurting. And so you start to talk to God, maybe in the darkness of your room, and suddenly this peace comes walking into your room. It just flows in. And suddenly, it's just like in a cold day, you take the comforter and you pull it up under your chin, and you feel nice and warm. What happens then? He says, I'm here. You put it in my hands, and I'm going to take care of it. We take the little child, we put them back to bed, you kiss them on the forehead, give them a little bit of a snuggle. Maybe you pray with them if you're a Christian family, and to sleep they go because they put their safety in your hands, and what we have, we put ours into God's hands. The message across this pulpit is this. The time has come, I believe, for all of us in our lives to be the ones to put all of our needs, our cares, our desires, in fact, everything to do with our lives into God's hands. Yeah, it is. Time has come. You know what? You're fretted about it. You fuss about it. You're concerned about it. Your anxiety levels go through the roof. You're so just flustered. You don't know what to do. You're scared for tomorrow because you don't even know about today. Really? Put it into God's hands. Here it comes. I'm going to nail it down and throw it at you. If God is a healer, then maybe it's time for you in possession of your healing or not to claim it. They just left. If you believe that God is the one who can truly deliver, then those today who are seeking deliverance by God need to then step out in the realm of faith in order for God to deliver you. You think God can do this? I don't know. Try it. Just put it into God's hands. Step out into the realm of faith and claim it. Receive it in God's time. And I want you to hear me now. If it's God's will for you to have it, you'll have it. In Jesus' name, it will come to pass. That didn't go over very well. Am I missing? If God wants you to have it, what does He say? I'm going to give you all of your wants. Isn't that what the Bible says, right? I'll give you all of your needs. I won't always give you all of your wants. You know how to spoil a child? Give them everything they want. All right, that's another lesson. So I want you to remember this. There is no mountain too high. There is no valley too low that God, your God, can't reach you by either climbing up to you or coming down to meet you. And all you got to do to experience this is put it into His hands. Those who battle addictions today, those who battle health issues, those who bear scars of sin's effects, those who have only known a life of dysfunction, just put it, your life, into God's hands. Step back. The day will come where you will say, hey, look what the Lord has done. Let's stand together, church. It'll be my testimony. God healed me. God touched me. I don't have to go back 37 years, but I will for a flash. I smoked 2.5-pack cigarettes a day. I drank, smoked dope, and did drugs. I lived a very dysfunctional life, and God took that mess, and He made it a miracle. So at this moment, I want you to know there's coming to you a clarion call. What kind of a call? A call on you in your life right now to determine to be the one to put whatever you need into God's hands. I'm going to open up this altar. I'm going to invite you to come. I want you to bring to God today your needs, your wants, your desires. I want you to bring your burdens to God. I want you to bring your cares today. And if you do what this preacher says, I want you to know that it is God who is going to answer your prayer. He's going to meet your need, and He's going to touch your life. Who's willing to step out from where you are? Why don't you grab a hold of what this preacher said to you today? Why don't you come? Bring somebody to the altar. Bring yourself. You know what? God knows what you're going through right now. God knows where you're at today.